Before Susan Patrone won the Newbery Award for the Higher Power of Lucky, she worked in the Los Angeles Public Library as a senior librarian. Her legacy as a librarian is almost as notable as her work as an author. Susan has devoted herself to introducing children to books that can change their life. Her own books are written with clarity, wit, and memorable characters. Like all good literature, each word is deliberately chosen to convey the perfect message. Susan is our Los Angeles Public Library star. Her enormous talent is matched by her generosity and kindness. Read her books and get to know a woman who is loved by all.
My name is Susan Patrone, and I am reading to you from the first chapter of Lucky Breaks, a sequel to The Higher Power of Lucky. Chapter 1, A Broken Brooch. 11, Lucky thought from her seat at the back of the school bus. 11, 11, 11, and the idea of it, the sound of it, threw off sparks in her head. You start with 1, 2, 3, those clunky one-syllable beginner ages, like wooden blocks that toddlers play with. Keep going, and you get to 8, 9, 10, the plodding steps you have to climb until, at last, you arrive. Finally, finally, you reach the best age, the one that, when you say it out loud, sounds like a little tap dance or a drum roll. And now, Lucky was almost there, about to turn 11. A dazzling change. Not the thud of 10, but flouncy 11, with its sophisticated three syllables. Write it as numerals, and you have a pair of ones, side by side, a fearless two-part beginning. The door to becoming a teenager. She pictured 11 as a swinging double door, a saloon door in an old western. You push the sides open, bam, with both hands, and stride through before they flap shut again, your childhood behind you. And her secret 11, the two straps of Lucky's brand new bra, her first. As the whole miraculousness of 11 sparked in Lucky's brain, the big bus with its three passengers in the very back seat jolted along the highway toward Sierra City. It was the last day of the first week of school. Lincoln, smelling of pencil lead, frowned over a complicated, much-creased diagram. It looked like the pattern for an intricate weaving of some kind, and was accompanied by numbers and letters of different colors. Lincoln didn't seem to have changed when he turned 11 half a year ago. He still tied knots, always practicing and learning new ones. Miles, by the window, clutched a bubble-wrapped object in his small, grimy hands. "Lucky," Miles said, leaning forward to peer around Lincoln's diagram. "Look at my show and tell. It's a wing." Lincoln raised his paper without taking his eyes off it, allowing Lucky to reach across for the object. But Miles jerked back. "Nobody can touch it," he said, "because it's from the Found Object Wind Chime Museum. And Short Sammy said I should borrow it because my only other show-and-tell was a piece of vacuum hose. But I had to promise no one would touch it, even Miss B." "Well, I can't really see it, Miles. You've got it all covered up with bubble wrap." "Yeah, so I'll do the tell part now and the show part when the bus stops, and you can look close, but you still can't touch it." Lucky knew that Miles took his responsibilities very seriously for a 5-going-on-6-year-old. "Okay," she agreed. "Okay," Miles echoed happily, settling back into his seat, cradling his object. After a minute, Lincoln folded his diagram and said, "So, what is the tell part? What did you mean that it's a wing?" "Oh, yeah," Miles said. "It's part of a brooch that got shot in half by a miner called Burrow Bob about 100 years ago. You probably don't know what a brooch is. It's a pin." "A pin?" Lucky asked. "Yeah, like jewelry. Ladies wear them on their... Miles's cheeks suddenly turned deep red. Here, he pointed a dirty-looking finger at his chest. So this woman, her name was Paloma, got killed by a bullet right in her heart. She got fought over by two miners, Burrow Bob and his partner, Frank the Fuse. Anyway, her name means dove in Spanish, and that's why Burrow Bob made a pin in the shape of a dove. He made it out of garnets and quartz and some other thing, I think amnesia, all from mines around Hardpan. One corner of Lincoln's mouth twitched at the word amnesia, a tiny smile Lucky knew was meant for her, but not Miles, to see. And Bob and his burrow were digging this well for water, only they never found any. But Frank tried to take Paloma for himself, so Bob plugged him. Miles formed his hand as if it were a gun, aimed at the front of the bus, pulled the trigger, made the sound of a gunshot, and fell back in his seat from the recoil. But somehow the bullet got Paloma instead. Miles jumped up to enact the part of the wounded Paloma, making agonized death sounds while clutching his chest to stop the bleeding. Get back in your seat, Miles, Sandy the bus driver shouted from the front. Miles slid onto his seat, still dying. I am in my seat, he shouted back. So, said Lucky, she died? Yeah, the bullet went right through the brooch and got her in the heart. It broke the pin in two. Sammy says the piece they found, Miles held up the wrapped object, is the wing of the dove, and the rest of the brooch is at the bottom of the well, which was, what's it called when they give up and quit working, like at a mine, and close it? Abandoned, Lincoln said, or condemned. Yeah, abandoned. Miles carefully slid the bubble-wrapped, covered pin into an empty plastic Band-Aid box, snapping the lid shut. Burrow Bob and Frank the Fuse disappeared and never got caught, but Short Sammy says lots of people have tried to find the rest of the dove brooch, its head and stuff, by climbing down into the old well. Abandoned or condemned, Lucky repeated softly, thinking how sad those words sounded, how lonely. They could be words about wells, and they could also be words about people. They should seal up those old wells, Lincoln said, gazing out the window. They're dangerous. His mother had named him Lincoln Clinton Carter Kennedy because she wanted him to grow up to be the President of the United States. Lucky noticed that he often looked and sounded like a future president, grave and serious and diplomatic. She remembered when they were only 7, and she teased him to make him chase her, then tripped and fell smack on her chin. The bright red gush of her own blood on the ground scared her. Lincoln had yanked off his T-shirt and pressed it hard against her chin. Stay put and keep pressing, he'd said, before going for help, already talking in that presidential way. And Lucky ended up with a little 3-stitch scar on the underside of her chin, a scar like a tiny upside-down L. Miles looked at them. Anyway, he said, there's bloody murder and no kissing. So it's a good show-and-tell story. When they got off the bus, they piled their backpacks on a bench, and Miles opened his Band-Aid box, slid the bubble wrap out, and very carefully unrolled it. Lucky, more interested in the museum's bugs and birds, had never noticed the little piece of jewelry. She bent over the mosaic of gems, bordered by a band of silver in a wing shape, intricate and beautiful. Wow, Lucky said, as Miles rewrapped the pin and put it back into the box. I wish we could see the rest of the brooch. Imagine the glory if we found it ourselves. Lincoln frowned. Don't even think about it, he said. Yeah, Miles said, the worry about the dangerousness of abandoned wells on his face. Forget about it, Lucky. But Lucky was considering how, when you're 11, you're interested in love and murder, blood and glory and kissing, things that are precious and fragile, things that are abandoned or condemned. Because 11 is much more intrepid than only 10. A lot of people think that since I grew up to be a librarian and a writer, that I was a big reader as a child. But in fact, I didn't know they had children's books or that people wrote books, especially for kids, until I was 8 years old. When I was 8, a librarian from the Los Angeles Public Library walked into my classroom with an armload of books. She talked about each of the books in such a way that really made me want to read them. And I got on my bike and went to the library for the first time after school that day, and pretty much overnight turned into an avid reader. At the same time, that librarian had left a copy of Charlotte's Web with our teacher, who was reading it aloud to us. And that experience was extremely powerful for me and changed my life, because that book transported me into a barn with a pig and a spider. And the very powerful emotions that E.B. White evoked in all of us made me want to become a writer myself when I grew up. So that librarian gave me the idea of becoming a writer. And now, today, I'm a full-time writer. I hope you're a full-time reader, and I hope you enjoy my books.